We're doing a series through the summer on the book of Proverbs, and we're just taking it thematically and looking at different themes. But the predominant overwhelming picture that we want is this choice that we have in life, choosing between wisdom and folly. And I liken it to going down the river, and I saw some people going down Vedder River yesterday on inner tubes, and I was thinking, yeah, not a lot of control there. And as a matter of fact, we biked the loop, and I knew that just a little ways downstream, someone had put a log right across, so they would have a choice to make, either hang left or hang right. And if they chose left, they were going to have a log in their way. And I thought, I hope they see that log in time before they can quickly try to make some change. But I think the thing that we want to talk about is picking your line, choosing your path, not being like the inner tube that just floats down, and wherever the river takes you is where it takes you, but making choices and choosing wisdom. And so today, what we want to talk about in regard to making choices is we're going to talk about socks. Today we are talking about socks, and a lot of people think that socks are dirty, but no, God created socks. Socks are not dirty, they're clean and good. And I mean, socks can get dirty. Absolutely, socks can get dirty. I got a lot of confused faces. We can work hard to make sure that our socks stay clean. So we want clean socks, and we're going to think about that. I once read a book called The Joy of Socks, and in the book The Joy of Socks, it talked about the great things about socks, and one of the things it said is that if you want to know whether you need more socks, you check your drawers, okay? And when you need socks, you can tell because you check your drawers. And men and women, yeah, I'm not wearing socks today. You can't have socks every day. I have great socks at home, I want you to know. There's no double meaning to this one. Socks in sandals, wrong, you guys, wrong. is this young people? They're young, is that? Anyways, no. No double meaning there. But men and women have different needs around socks, okay? Because I don't know about other guys here, my drawer has basically white socks and black socks. My socks needs are very, you know, direct, I don't think about other things as I'm getting dressed in the morning. I just put on whatever socks I need. With women, I think socks are more related to a lot of other things. You can't separate socks from a lot of other things. And so socks is related to, like, you get up in the morning and you're thinking about what you're gonna wear. You gotta think about what your outfit is, what shoes you're gonna wear, and then you can pick what socks. And so socks is interrelated, integrated into a whole lot of other things. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And so I think that this is one of the fundamental differences between men and women. And we need to really let that sink in, is that men and women are fundamentally different around their need for socks. There is such an, it's an important point. We're gonna come back to it a fair bit, this difference around men and women and their need for socks, and one is more relational, and one is more like direct, straight up front. There you go. Now, it's a lot easier to talk about socks than other things, because if I was using other words, we'd all feel really uncomfortable. But here's the thing: I want to hit this home. Okay, is like God created socks beautiful, and for lots of different reasons. Right? There's lots of purposes to socks in life. But here's the thing. I think there's a really important lesson, spiritual lesson, life lesson, that comes with socks. And that is if you were to say to your partner, I want socks, give me socks, and it's all about me, 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 and what I want, your partner is likely to say, fine, have some socks, right? And go to Costco and get you the cheapest socks they can find, right? If it's all about you, then it's all like, you know, People are begrudging. But if you say, I want to give you great socks, let me make sure that you have great socks. If you're thinking about your partner, then your partner turns around and says, I want you to have great socks. I mean, we say this thing that, like, it is better to give than to receive, and giving is receiving. I think that in this particular area, like, that lesson really, really comes home. And so if we're generous with our socks, then our partner is generous back. And so I think there's a really beautiful life lesson that God teaches us through socks. Proverbs has a bunch of things to say, and I think that often we talk so much about where it goes wrong, and we get this idea that socks are dirty because we talk about what could go wrong. We sometimes forget, no, God created this, and there's a purpose for that. And the writer of Proverbs wants us to think about that. And so we have Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. I had to search a whole bunch of versions that we were using the Good News Translation to find them was G-rated. There's a few PG-rated versions of this verse if you want to look them up. But this is the G-rated version. So be happy with your wife and find your joy with the woman you married, pretty and graceful as a deer. Let her charms keep you happy. Let her surround you with her love. There's a beauty to, and God's purpose in this is for us to have this wonderful thing that glues us together, that is enjoyable together, that brings us and holds us together. And it's powerful. It's a powerful force in our life. And because it's so powerful, it has that, like, potential, like dynamite, to go off track. And so God created this as a powerful glue to hold us together, because men and women are different and we need stuff to hold us together, but it's a powerful force in our life that can go off track. There is a context, I think. And, you know, I mean, there's been seasons of my life where God has said, Jerry, you cannot have socks right now. And I said, because I like socks, and I don't like my feet being cold. But God said, no, like, there is a context for it, and I think that's important that we think about where God places this, and God places this for a couple who are in a lifelong relationship, and that's what it's meant for and meant to be part of. And I know that there's so much stuff in the world today that draws us away from that and makes us think, oh, we're missing out if we follow God's way. No, we're not missing out. It's actually the best way. Proverbs 12, verse 4, and Proverbs 18, 22. A wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Yeah, and so there's a lot of really positive and good things to this marriage relationship. I should say, and it really struck home to me as I was preparing this message, is that the Bible is written by men. I mean, inspired by God, but written by men. And predominantly as they're writing it, they're writing to men, because at the time women didn't get an education, women by and large weren't literate, and so we're reading a book that was written by men for men. And so as we're reading some of these, it's like, why aren't they talking about husbands? Why aren't they talking about? It's because that's not the way they were thinking as they were writing this stuff down. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking it's pretty cool that even though the Bible was written by men for men, there's a lot of equality in there. And I don't know if any of you have read the Quran. I have, and it's also a book written by a man for men, and it is somewhat less egalitarian. It is somewhat more, like, downright misogynistic in some areas. And so I think it's pretty cool that God was able to inspire the writers to see beyond their own culture and their own fairly male-dominated culture at the time. However, it's not perfect. And so here are these next two verses. When it goes wrong, here's what the writer of Proverbs had to say. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and nagging wife. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, okay, but if this was written by women for women, There'd be some different words up there, wouldn't there? Well, it would be fun, actually, to write some of those proverbs. Like, what would it be? Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a sloppy husband, with a angry, with a jealous husband? Some words come to my mind. I'm sure, ladies, you could come up with a few words to put in there. Fair is fair, right? To balance that out. But I think, God created this beautiful, wonderful, but there are the challenges. I think there is no decision. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. For you young people that aren't married yet, the most important decision you will make in your life is who your life partner is. Okay? Don't make this choice like, oh, well, I'm going out with this guy, I might as well get married. Like, don't do it, you know? And I know that the custom today is people date for a little bit, and then they move in together, and that way, we can check out whether or not we're compatible, and then we get married. But here's the problem with that, and I've witnessed it time and time again, is that the barrier to moving in with somebody is fairly low. I've dated you for a few months, we seem okay, let's move in together and see how this works. So as you move in together, what happens? You start buying stuff together, you get a dog, you buy a TV, a couch bed, and now your life gets more and more ingrained and intertwined. And this person that you didn't really think that hard about whether you wanted to marry them, your life is now so intertwined it's hard to pull apart. And so the stats remain consistent that people that don't live together first actually have longer marriages, have less divorce than people that move in together, and there's a wonderful paper called Sliding Rather Than Deciding as to why that is. If you slide together instead of making that conscious choice, this is the person I want to spend my life with. So make that choice, make it consciously, make it clearly, and that would be a better, rather than just going with the flow, going with the river, let's choose a path, let's pick the line, let's do that. Okay, there's a number of proverbs around the adulterous woman. Let me just read this, and then we'll talk about it from a couple of different angles. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth, ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death, and her path to the spirits of the dead, none who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Now, again, this is written from a male perspective, and I think there's a certain amount of misogyny, a certain amount of, it's the woman's fault, right? And there's kind of a theme, the woman, Genesis 3, the woman, she tempted me, right? You ate the tree, ate from the apple, be a man, take responsibility. And here as well, I think there's a certain amount, it was the adulterous woman that tempted me. Now, guys, let's not do that, okay? But I think I want to start just with this idea of, there's a number of different, sins around socks in the Bible. Which one makes the top 10? Which one is in the Ten Commandments? Do not commit adultery. Right? Of all the sins that we could make in the area of intimacy, being unfaithful to those covenant, that's the big one. And the damage that I've seen happen, in the fabric of society, the fabric of life, when somebody is in a lifelong relationship and breaks the covenant, and it does so much damage. And so many people that I know that have had affairs have said a version of, I didn't plan it, it just happened, right? Life just happens, and I think there's a truth to that. I think that if you're on the inner tube and just floating down the river, life's gonna throw different people at you, and the probability that somebody will come along while you're married that will be attractive and you'll be tempted, There's a really good probability of that. And if you're just going along the flow and not making decisions, there's a good chance that you're going to end up having an affair. Because having an affair is not hard, right? And I think it's making the choice, making the decision, I will not do that. And that's what, we don't make that choice at the time as your colleague who you get along really well and you're super friendly, and now your colleague says, hey, why don't we go for a drink after work? That's not the time to make the decision, because you're going to be like, ah, it's just drinks, right? No, the time to make the decision is now. Choose this day, I will be faithful to my spouse. I will not do this because it causes so much damage, it causes so much hurt, it causes so much rip in the fabric of life. We got to choose, and we got to make those choices now, not later, okay? And so I encourage you, like this is, and Proverbs is so right, like it creates so much damage, it creates so much hurt in the world, and so we have to choose not to do that. I also think, though, that there's a sense here about, oh, the adulterous woman, let's blame the woman. And I think that we do, I think men in our minds, sometimes like, oh, it's her fault. And it's like, there's so much blame and shame placed on women, okay, by men. And that's the way, if you're in a very male-dominant society, that's what you're going to see, is the woman gets cast as this sort of temptress, this evil, but it's in our brains, right? Like, we all have choices to make, and we have to make them well. I want to talk a little bit about more on sort of some of the differences between men and women. I especially want, just everybody to know, especially, okay, for young women, and to know that there's like differences between men and women. Let's not be naive about that. And so when I saw this research, and I thought, well, isn't this an interesting kind of reflection on the difference between men and women? This is from a dating site. This is sort of anonymized, data from this dating site. And what I find so interesting is that, so on this side, this is women, and this is her age, and this is the age that they would allow to be matched with. And so if you're a 30-year-old woman, you say, yeah, I could be matched with a 28-year-old up to maybe a 38-year-old, okay? Women tend to lean towards older men. And so this is the sort of the medium, them meeting someone exactly their own age, and so they tend a little older. But notice how the graph, it gets a wee tiny bit wider, but it stays pretty much the same. Men, as women get older, they want to find a man who is also older, more mature, yada yada. Men, on the other hand, like here we have our 30-year-old man, he wants to get matched with a 22-year-old. Go up to 33 or something like that, okay? But if he's 48, like it gets bigger and bigger, right? A 48-year-old guy hopes to be matched with a 30-year-old, and he'll go as high as 52. It's different, right? And what's even more stark is the difference between men and women as they rate attractiveness. And so, as part of this website's log algorithm, they say, hey, tell us, they show a bunch of pictures of different guys, who do you find more attractive? And what's interesting is that women tend to say, I find these men more attractive, and they tend to stick within that age range. So as they get older, they actually find older men more attractive. I think that's cool. That's very mature of you women, and I admire you. You know, that's awesome. And I hate to tell you this because this is embarrassing as a man. But men, as they're rating who is more attractive, consistently find the 20-year-old the most attractive. Okay, and he's 48 and he's still picking the 20-year-old as the most attractive. I mean, it's sad. We're not. We're kind of immature, us men. I think one of the fundamental differences is that men are able to separate relational intimacy and physical intimacy. And women don't. For women, relational intimacy and physical intimacy are really tied up together. And for men, not so much. Okay, gotta make this clear. I'm stereotyping here. Not all men are like that. And so there's a range. And so let's not talk all men. If you look at the industry built to cater around sexual needs, the industry caters to men, not women, because men are able to separate that physical need from the relational need. And so I think that's important for us to know and think about, but that's not an excuse, guys. Like, we get to decide, we get to overcome that, we get to say, that's not who I'm gonna be. That's us, again, choosing the line. That's not the person I wanna be. I wanna be this other person that sees a whole person and not just the outside. Okay. Now, if I haven't skated out on thin ice enough, I'm going to delve into another topic. Oh, and this is a sensitive one. I'm going to walk this very carefully. Because I think there's an attitude that we have to be so careful with, and it's easy. And you know what? I want to say right now, like, I'm not thinking about anybody here. There's no examples. Like, this church is awesome. And so it's more to think about, Can I help put words that if you're in a situation where you're trying to give guidance and wisdom to young people, here are some words you can use, and here's how to think about this tightrope that we walk when it comes to this topic. And so let me just say, I lived in Niger for, 1988 and 89, 15 months, and then we were back in 2003 for 4 months. And it's a very male-dominated society. It's a Muslim country, and in 88 and 89, when we were there, it was before radical Islam had really crept into the country. It was a fairly moderate Islam, and I felt welcome the whole time I was there. But even in that society, women covered up. And what you find is, if you look sociologically at historically male-dominated societies, women cover up more. And the more you have an egalitarian society, the more there's more freedom around what to wear. And so this was a fairly, you know, Muslim, very male-dominated, and women covered up. When we were back in 2003, there was a lot more, pretty much all women were wearing the hijab, and even had some people in a burqa. And so it was different. But regardless, people cover up. And I think that's because it's easy in the male brain to say, oh, I'm tempted by that. I'm seeing something and I'm attracted to it. And so I don't blame myself, I blame you. You're dressed like that, cover up. And so in a male-dominant society, men urge women to cover up, and there's regulation and laws and all that kind of stuff. The more egalitarian, the less it becomes that way, but I still see in Christian society, sometimes this thing where we're like, oh, well, that's inappropriate for church and you shouldn't be wearing that, and we put shame and blame on the women, on the girls. And I think that's wrong, okay? Because the shame belongs in the men's brain, okay? And so let's not put that on women to say, oh, you need to cover up, you know? Okay, no. Like, guys, we need to find a way to not be there. We have to take control, pick the line, go down the river, and the book of Job even says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at the woman. And so we have to make that choice. Now, again, I think that, this is walking the tightrope, it's hard, but we have to make the choice. Like, it's also not, oh, I'm not looking, I'm gonna look at the ground, whatever. I mean, sometimes you have to do that, but I think also being able to, for me, it's saying there's beauty in the world, there's beauty all around, and I can appreciate beauty of all sorts, and I'm just going to appreciate beauty as much as possible. I try to look at people in their face and not elsewhere, and make eye contact, and I think that's, guys, we need to control our brains, we need to control our eyes, we need to control our thoughts, but let's not put it on women, okay? Now, ladies, if I were to, I'll be honest with you, Niger, for me as a guy was good. Like there was no temptation. I still remember after a year and a half in Niger, we were at the Vancouver airport waiting for our luggage to get picked up, and a bus came up and stopped, and there was a big Swimco ad on the side of the bus. And I was like, now I gotta fight that thing again that I haven't had to fight for a year and a half. But it's a fight that we have to fight, we have to do that. But I think, ladies, and if you're talking to young women on this topic, like, there's the world as I wish it was and the world as it is. And as much as I wish all men would control their thoughts, men are pigs, there's a lot of pigs out there. Okay. What kind of attention do you want to draw to yourself is a question. And I honestly think the question really comes down to, the way I would frame it to a young person is, how do you want to be seen? In what way do you want to, how do you want to go into the world? Because there's always fashions and, you know, I gotta, you know, this is what's in style, this is what's in fashion. But if it's not you, why are you doing it? Again, it's like, don't be in the inner tube. Like, pick a line, go with the line, have a sense of style that is comfortable for you, that says who you are, and don't draw attention to the outward, to the physical, because then that's all people see. But draw attention to your whole self, who you are as a human being. Invite people to engage in conversation as an intelligent human being, and not just like notice the physical and the outward beauty. And so I would invite people to consider, what are my values, who am I as a human being, and how do I dress that draws attention to who my whole self, not just my outward self. And so those are some things to consider. But just to sort of come back, because I really think, as much as we can talk about all the ways socks get dirty, we want to think about the beauty of this, that God created this as a wonderful thing to be shared for a lifetime between a man and a woman, and that's God's goal and desire for it. And we have a choices to make throughout our life about picking our line and sticking with the line, or just allowing the river to flow and wash us off whichever way. And there's all kinds of pitfalls and ways we get into trouble that way. So let's choose this day to pick the line and stay with the line and follow God's purpose and desire for this. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning just acknowledging that you created all things beautiful. Thank you for your creation. Lord, help us to continually come back to what your desire for creation is, what your desire for intimacy is, and how we can live that in honor of you and in glory of you. In Jesus' name we pray.